Suffer any time again. But first, attention everybody, please. Here's our last warning to those of you who haven't sent in yet for that beautiful gold-plated two-initial signet ring with your own two personal initials right on it. Tonight's the very last night I can tell you how to get your own two-initial signet ring without sending in a penny. Now remember, it's the same swell signet ring thousands of Ovaltine users sent in for last spring at the special bargain price of 10 cents. But now, during the past week, Annie's offered these same signet rings absolutely free to every one of her friends who tries new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine. Well, say, I don't have to tell you what happened with a bargain like that. Boys and girls sent in by the thousands, and Annie's supply of signet rings has been going like hotcakes. And so, we're going to have to stop offering these rings on the radio after tonight. So if you haven't sent in yet, don't miss this last chance to get your two-initial signet ring without sending in a penny. Because here's one ring that's so nifty, so swell, you'll be proud to wear it wherever you go. The ring itself is all finished in genuine 24-karat gold plate. Then, the initials on top are finished in a beautiful, shiny silver-tone color, giving the whole ring an expensive, rich-looking finish in a duotone effect. And remember, the biggest thrill of all about this ring is it's a two-initial signet ring. It doesn't have just one initial on it, no sir. It has your very own two personal initials, both of them. And they're big initials, 3/8 of an inch across, and so bright and shiny and silvery, no one can miss seeing them. It's a big ring, too, all made up in a smart, modernistic design. And it's automatic fitting, so it will fit you exactly right. Boy, won't you be thrilled when your friends see you wearing a ring like this, a signet ring made up specially to your order with your own two personal initials right on top. And think of the fun you can have making up your own personal seal with it for sealing letters and secret messages and things, just like kings and queens and generals did with their signet rings years ago. Now, all you do to make a seal, you know, is just melt some candle wax or sealing wax, and then press down the ring while the wax is still soft, and presto, when you lift up your ring, there's your own personal private seal, showing your own two personal initials stamped right into the wax. Now, everybody knows that signet rings, even those with just one initial, are usually very expensive. But say, no matter how much you wanted to pay, you couldn't buy this two-initial signet ring in the stores anywhere. No, sir. They've been made up exclusively for Orphan Annie's friends who try new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine. And if you do, you can get your two-initial signet ring absolutely free. And now for the last time, here's all you do. Just print your name and address plainly on a piece of paper. Also print plainly the two initials you want on your ring. Mail that paper together with all of the special gold-colored seal that you can find only underneath the lid of a can of new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine. Mail it to Little Orphan Annie, Chicago, Illinois. And so, ask your mother to get you a can of new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine at her drug or grocery store tonight. Tell her it comes in a different can. The same orange color, only it has the words chocolate-flavored and sweetened plainly marked on front. And then, as soon as you get it, take out that special gold-colored seal to send in and get your two-initial signet ring made up specially to your order with your own two personal initials right on it. But remember, tonight's the last night we'll be telling you about it on the radio. So get busy this very night. But now, for tonight's adventure. Last time, we heard Captain Steele planning a new attack on Annie's Island. Unaware of this, Annie, Joe, and Mr. Wilcox, using some of the odds and ends they brought ashore from the shipwreck months ago, are now hard at work trying to build a radio transmitting set with which they hope to communicate with the world. But listen to Joe.
Gosh, Mr. Wilcox, do you suppose we can really do this?
Don't know, Joe. Hand me that screwdriver there, will you?
You bet.
All we can do is try and try hard.
And that's just what we're going to do, try hard.
Yes, but don't be disappointed, Annie, if we don't succeed.
Leaping lizards, we've got to succeed, Bud. We've got to get word out somehow that we're here on this unknown island. Why, if we don't, we may have to stay marooned here all the rest of our lives.
Nevertheless, there are some things, Annie, that try as we will just can't be done.
I know.
We have a lot of material here, and I may have the knowledge to put together some sort of a wireless outfit. But I'm not sure. Again, even if we get such a set built, we may not be able to generate enough power in any homemade electric generator to send waves more than a mile or two.
Gosh.
Those wire nippers, Joe, please.
Yeah, here you are. Just sitting home in front of a radio back in Simmons Corners, Annie. We never gave a thought how hard it is to get broadcasting on the air.
I know it. Suffering Sunfish, all we had to do was turn a button on with a snap.
And there was music coming from New York or Chicago.
Yeah, and voices. And when I see how tough it is to build a thing like just a plain transmitter that Mr. Wilcox is working on now, it makes me laugh at the books we used to read, where they were always inventing rockets to the moon and electric guns and a lot of stuff like that.
It makes a difference, Joe, whether you're living in a book or in real life the way we are. But don't get it into your head if we do manage to get a transmitter set up that we'll be able to talk to the outside world.
Shucks, won't we?
Indeed not. This isn't a story, Joe. It's the real thing. We'll be lucky if we can just send any kind of waves out through the air, enough to be heard by or interfere with, either shore stations or the receiving sets of any ships that might be crossing the Pacific.
Then lizards in that case, then, Bud. If we can't send out word of where we are, how in the world can we ever expect anybody to find us?
Don't let that worry you, Annie. Hand me that copper wire there, Joe. I'm going to start winding this coil.
Yes, sir.
But it does worry me. Suffering Sunfish, if we can't talk or send messages over this radio once we get it built, and that is, if we ever do get it built, what good is it going to do us?
Plenty. If we can send out waves powerful enough to interfere with general wireless reception in the Pacific, you can bet it won't be long before some government or other turns a rangefinder on us.
A rangefinder?
It's really a direction finder, Joe. Wireless apparatus has been developed in recent years for determining the bearing of a distant transmitter. It's the same sort of instrument aviators use when they're flying blind at night or in dense fogs. They can find, within 2 degrees of an arc, the exact spot from which the waves are coming from. And by following up this direction, they eventually arrive at the spot. So you see, if we are able to send out signals with this apparatus we're building, a government ship could follow the signals and find us.
Oh, that's better.
I'll say it is. For a few minutes, I was thinking...
No, our problem is to get waves on the air. After that, if we make them a big enough nuisance to other wireless receiving sets on boats and things, their source is bound sooner or later to be investigated, and the investigating ship will arrive at this island.
I can almost see it coming now. Smoke pouring out of its stacks, spearing in toward us.
Whoa there, Joe, not so fast. Don't count your chickens yet. We've got a mighty tough problem on our hands. And with only these odds and ends to work with, this junk from the wreck, it's 99-1 we won't succeed.
Just the same, aren't we going to keep on trying?
Yes, we won't quit, Annie. Not until failure actually comes. But there are a lot of mysterious things about radio and wireless that nobody knows. So don't hope for too much.
Do you suppose Annie and Joe and Bud Wilcox will be able to put together a transmitter capable of sending out waves on the air? Only time will tell. Oh, but say, far away from Annie's island, thousands of miles to the east and north, lies the city of Valparaiso in the South American country of Chile. In its fine harbor lies a ship, and something about its trim lines and its neat white sides are familiar, for it's a yacht. And in gold letters on its bow is the name Falcon. Yes, it's the old familiar Falcon, the yacht of Oliver Warbucks, Annie's foster father. And in its lounge cabin sits a disappointed and discouraged man, Mr. Warbucks himself. And with him is his skipper, Captain Taffrail, and his friend Bill Darch. And listen, Darch is talking.
Well, Oliver, what are the reports today?
Nothing, Bill. Nothing. The messenger just came down from the capital at Santiago. Nothing to report.
I'm afraid it's hopeless, Oliver.
Maybe you're right, Bill.
It is, sir. You may take a sailor's word for it. Oliver, aside from being the skipper of your ship, I've been your friend for a good many years, right?
Right, Taffrail.
And I don't think I've ever given you a bad piece of advice. Now, see here. Annie, Joe, and the rest have been missing for months now, sir. Months.
That's right.
We've been up the east coast of South America. We stopped at Buenos Aires, at Rio, at little ports through Patagonia. Nothing. No word. And now we've done the west coast, Chile, Callao in Peru, Guayaquil in Ecuador, Buenaventura in Colombia, up to Panama itself. And then we work down again. We're in Chile once more.
I know, Bill. Taffrail's talking sense, Oliver. All this time we've had the cooperation of governments. Now you're getting reports right now from Santiago, and they all come to nothing. Each day, no word. No word, no indication of a shipwreck, no knowledge of any possible survivors.
Well, what do you gentlemen suggest? I can see you have something in mind.
Miss Oliver, Taffrail and I have talked it over.
Aye.
we're two good friends of yours to see you waste yourself away any longer.
Waste myself away? Say I'm as good as I ever was.
Yes, but Oliver, old man, you can't go on forever looking for signs that Annie may be alive.
That you can't, sir. I've served to see her upwards of 40 years, Oliver. She's a jealous mistress, and she don't readily give up her dead.
Dead? Oliver, Catherine and I have talked this over. We've both reached the conclusion that Annie and the others are dead.
I know it hurts you, Oliver, but we might as well face facts. There's not a chance in the world now that Annie is...
That Annie is alive? You may be right, Hatrail. But if you'd have seen that little red-headed type grow up like I have, if you'd have plucked her out of an orphanage as I did, and done things for her, and seen her grow up and develop, and felt her hard, freckled little arms around your neck, well, man, you wouldn't think that there was anything that could stop the light in that fine little body.
The sea could, sir.
Yes, the sea. I know how much you love her, Oliver. She got under my skin, too, when we were all together over there in India last year. But let's face facts.
That's what I want, Bill. Facts.
They're simple enough. You got a message from her, thrown overboard from a ship called the Tiger.
Right.
Then no more word was heard from the Tiger. It disappeared from the seas.
And when a ship disappears, Oliver, it only means one thing. She's sunk. You may take an old seaman's word for that.
And no word from her since. Now let's face this, Oliver. The Tiger was headed for Asiatic ports. The message from Annie sent Manila in the Philippines. But she never arrived there. Or at any other port, either in Asia or anywhere else. So there's only one answer.
Aye. The ship went down with all hands. Pacific is mighty big, Oliver. And she wouldn't be the first that sunk with no word from her.
So, Oliver, much as I hate to say it, I feel that we're wasting our time in prolonging this search. Well, I'm your friend and you know it. But for months we've had reports all up and down this coast, and no ship Tiger entered any port.
You think then I should look upon Annie as dead?
I do, Oliver.
I'll never be able to do that. But if she is dead, I'll always think of her alive and happy as I knew her. I see your point. Perhaps this search is useless, and maybe we should abandon it. But I want to ask you one more favor as friends of mine. Give me one more week. If in that week you get no clues, receive no word, then... Well, then, it's over. One more week is what I want. Just one more week.
One more week. Loyal Daddy Warbucks is standing by his Annie as long as he possibly can. But will a week be long enough for Annie and the rest to build that makeshift transmitter? And will it work? And now, for the very last time, here's all you do to get one of those beautiful gold-plated two-initial signet rings specially made up for your order with your very own two personal initials right on top. You get it absolutely free, remember, if you try new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine. And here's all you have to do. Just print your name and address plainly on a piece of paper. Also print plainly the two initials you want on your ring. Then mail that paper, together with all of the special gold-colored seal you can find only underneath the lid of a can of new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine. Mail it to Little Orphan Annie, Chicago, Illinois. Now remember, be sure you print the initial of your first name and the initial of your last name plainly so there won't be any mistake when we make up your ring for you. And be sure to send that special gold-colored seal from under the lid of a can of new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine. So ask your mother to get you a can right away so you can send in tonight because Annie's supply is going fast. Now, don't miss getting one of these swell two-initial signet rings to have and wear for your very own just because you were too late. Now, get busy and send in for your signet ring tonight without fail. And you certainly want to listen to Annie's next adventure next Monday to see if our friends can build a radio that will really work. Until next Monday, then, goodbye.